This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the August 30th edition of Invest Talk. I appreciate you being with me, 2017. And of course, you know, we promote above average investing for the average investor. We get together every day to talk about managing your money, making it grow, keeping it safe, or as safe as we can. It's hard to word that way, but word safe when you're talking about the stock market, because risk is always relative. It's always there. But we try to keep it at tolerable levels, right? I mean, the risk that you wish to take and the risk that the market is it may be two different things. You just got to understand the difference and where you want to be. Your questions are always welcome during this hour, 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. And, of course, you can leave your question anytime you want on our 24-hour listener line. That same number is always, never changes. It hasn't changed in umpteen bazillion years. 888-99-CHART. And we'll get to the phone in a minute. There's no one-size-fits-all answer to the question of proper asset allocation. Deciding factors, a major deciding factor is age, of course, and then risk tolerance and time to retirement. Age, risk tolerance, and time to retirement. Mixing it up, stocks versus bonds versus cash. That's our main talking point today. I think we'll get to all that pretty easily. Before we go any further, let's go ahead and check in with our 24-hour listener line calls, and it's open for your questions anytime you want to ask them.
Hey, Steve and Justin, this is Scott calling from the Bay Area. Just want to thank you guys for your program. Been listening for about a year, and I've been sort of delving back and catching up on all the past podcasts, definitely a lot of material. And you guys really, I have to say, have inspired me to get my financial goals in alignment. I have to be sort of frank here and admittedly embarrassed. I have some credit card debt. And after listening to your program, however, it's given me the inspiration I need to do what I need to do to pay that off so I can then have money left over to invest. So with your program, I just want to say thank you for the inspiration to encourage me to do what I need to do. And just want to say thank you for, the daily podcast. Thank you again, guys. Have a good afternoon.
Well, that was nice. That's very appreciative. And yeah, you don't really invest in the stock market until you get your credit card debt paid off, because that's really high debt. You know, you look at your money and put it to the best use you can. And if you do have credit card debt, the best use is to pay that off, because that's high. That's expensive, expensive debt. And you don't want to invest in the market because, think about it this way. The market, on average, gives you what, 9% or so, the S&P 500 over time, over and over. And you're paying 13, 14, 20% on your credit card. Does that make sense financially? No, it does not. You want to pay that off, but you're doing the right thing. Once you get that paid off, then you start working on it. I use credit cards all the time, but I pay it off every month. I've been for years and years, decades I've been doing that. Because I like, you want to build your credit. That's one way to do it. We're always talking down analysts, as you know. Why? Why do I do that? Because most times they're wrong. They're wrong in their predictions. They're wrong in their projections. But having said that, without Wall Street analysts, future earnings projections would be very hard for the average investor to calculate. We don't know. Analysts tend to dig deep into the industry and company trends to identify likely earnings for their upcoming years. At this task, analysts do a pretty decent job of landing in the ballpark. However, there are other areas that they solely lack in accuracy. They really have trouble with it. Not only do analysts project earnings, but they also give recommendations and price targets on stocks. This is where your skepticism should creep in. They do, and when they say buy and they say sell, you need to do your own work. First of all, recommendations are usually biased. Their recommendations are biased to the positive side, not to the negative side. They're biased. You see, vastly variant opinions on Wall Street is rare. They're usually lockstep. And the price target are extremely subjective. No one really knows. I've given you different ways to try to evaluate stocks, but again, these are guesstimates based on a lot of years in the business. It's not, that's what they are. They're guesstimates, people. Once you learn to do it yourself, yours is just as good as anybody else's. Now, the takeaway is analysts are notoriously wrong about the timing of their recommendations, and you should always take them with a grain of salt. The time to buy a stock is usually not tipped off by Wall Street analysts. Rely on your own analysts. Look at the charts, look at the fundamentals, decide what you think is good. And you're not an expert, I understand that, but as I said, experts are often wrong. So you can get pretty good at it. Anything beyond the analyst, guidance is something you should be very wary of. Guidance, look, you use them. Okay, we use earnings estimates, that's analysts. Well, they're pretty good. They can't see the future, but they're pretty good. So we have to use them. Okay, let's get back to the phone and take another question. Enough of that stuff. Our 24-hour line is always open, 888-99-CHART.
Yes, hi. This is Max from Germany. I was wondering if you could give an update on the Teva stock, T-E-V-A. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, Teva, which we've talked about many times. I've liked the stock, and then it took a dive based on the fact that they cut their dividend by 75%. So everybody sold it. Got to remember, there's those dividend mutual funds, dividend ETFs. They have to sell it because of when they cut. But Teva Pharmaceuticals is the world's largest generic drug maker out of Israel. We sold it and took the loss in our managed accounts because we need losses to offset the gains this year. So we took it. I still like Teva. Do not believe the dividend is not 6%. Now that will be knocked down. Remember, they're cutting it in their most recent report. Mind you, the most recent report, just so you know, sales were up 13% year over year. It's not like the company's falling apart. The stock price is now down to what, $15.46, cut in half. Earnings are going to be less. But in line with expectations. Don't think it's a little bit below expectations. The big disappointment was they're cutting their dividend. And until they get a new CEO on board, until they get their act together, I think you stay away from it. If you've ridden it all the way down here, probably go ahead and stay with it. This is one of the major reasons I keep telling you, do not buy more than 3% of any one stock. Do not do that. And this is one of the major reasons, because you never know. It was at 31, and now it's at 15, and what, for the month of August. And it fell, most of that fall was in 3 days. So if you didn't buy too much of any one stock, you're fine. I think they'll come out nicely at some point, but you just never know. They still don't have a permanent CEO, and until they do, I'm not comfortable with the company at this point. It looks really cheap because they made $5.12 a share in 2016. They're going to make $4.32 this year and then $4.03 next year, and it's a $15 stock. Well, that's what, 3.5 PE? Pretty low price. Okay, that's Teva, T-E-V-A. Teva Pharmaceuticals. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. This is our 1 hour together to talk about your money. Let's make the most of it. 2008 was Berkshire Hathaway's worst year in 44 years. That's Buffett, right? Buffett's the chairman. Net worth fell by $11.5 billion that year. Even the big guys make mistakes, everybody. Not everybody's not right all the time. Maybe you'd like to share one of your mistakes with us. 888-99-CHART. 888-99-CHART, mixing up stocks, bonds, and cash. What? That's our talking point, the mixing up of those three things. Stocks, bonds, cash. What should you do? Also, I want to talk about China's buying of our debt. Have you noticed recently that they bought a lot of our debt? They're now, again, the world's largest holder of our debt, taken over from Japan. It was Japan before, now it's China. ADP jobs report came out this morning. I want to discuss that if we can get to it. And what options kids have, your kids, your adult kids, hopefully you're adult because you'll be old, what options do they have when they inherit a retirement account, IRA, Roth IRA? What are their options? What can they do? We'll talk about that briefly. I would like to get to the thing we didn't get to yesterday, and that's financial and enabling people financially enabling their adult children and what's going on there. If we can get to these things, that'd be great. The market was up today. The Dow was up 27. The NASDAQ was up 66. Isn't that interesting? The NASDAQ was up pretty big today. And I always find that interesting because NASDAQ usually leads and it hasn't for a while. I mean, and then, of course, the S&P was up 11, which is good. The market internals improved nicely today because they've been pretty darn weak. I've been reporting up, down, up, stocks up on volume and stocks down on volume. And in a normal, healthy market, you have a lot more stocks up on volume than down on volume. And we've had it for a month or so where many, many more stocks are down on volume than stocks are up on volume. And today, it was almost equal, the same number up and down. That's a big change. But a healthy market would mean that the up volume stocks would dominate the down volume stocks. Okay? That's what is normal. Let's get back to the 24-hour listener line, 888-99-CHART, any time number.
Hey, guys. I'm just calling to follow up on a call I made a couple weeks back regarding Apple stock. With the recent run-up and the news looking rosy going forward, probably for at least a couple quarters, I'm just wondering what your guys' thoughts would be on, are you selling the news? Would you recommend selling the news or just buying any dips at this point, looking out, you know, a year from now? Just wondering what your thoughts are regarding that and strategy. Anyways, thanks a lot. Look forward to your answer on the show.
I think Apple's got a lot more way to go on the upside, but they have had a very nice run and had a new 52-week high. If it was me and I wanted to get it, by the way, we own Apple, have owned Apple for bazillion, upteen, long, many years. Okay? And I still like Apple because it's not overpriced. Compared to other companies, they're going to make $10.88 next year. That's 21% increase from this year, which is $9.02, which is 9% increase from last year. And sales have picked up in recent quarters, 3, 6, 7%. It's an $843 billion company, the largest company in the world. I would buy half of your position because you got to get in, and they're coming out with an announcement coming in September. We might get a pullback in the stock before year end, but I could not tell you that for sure. No one really knows. So if you want to get in, get in. It's new 52-week high. It's on. You're buying some momentum. That's what you're doing. This is InvestTalk, everybody. I'm Steve Peasley. What is your money question today? Get in touch. 888-99-CHART. You can reach me directly, 4 to 5 Pacific Time on InvestTalk. 888-992-4278. We're going to talk to Wendy in Chino Hills. How are you doing, Wendy?
I'm doing good. How are you, Steve?
Thank you. I'm doing very well. Thank you for the call.
Thank you for taking my call, actually. My question today is regarding the Habit Restaurant, H-A-B-T.
Mm-hmm.
I want to buy it, and I would like your opinion on, like, if the restaurants, like, or the food sector is a good to be in now, and what's a good buy point?
Okay, the food sector is not the best at this point. For various reasons, okay? There's a lot of turmoil going on with you know, everybody's concerned with Amazon buying Whole Foods. And you would say, well, what's that got to do with the Habit or the restaurant business? Well, it doesn't have a
right.
lot. Other than that, it's making everybody want turning around and thinking, well, who else is, where else is the competition going to come from with Amazon? They're going to buy a fast food chain next? You know, are they going to start their own? It's that kind of thinking. So the whole sector is not doing very well. Habit Restaurant has a very good growth rate. They're growing their sales 17-20% quarter after quarter sales. Earnings are not as good. In 2016, they made 47 cents a share, and that was a very good year for them. But in 2017, they're only going to make 23 cents, half that much. And then rebound a little bit in 2018 to 27 cents a share. And it's a $13 stock, $12.95. It's fallen very hard from 1950 to $12.95. And I will say this, Wendy, this looks like good support right around this area, around $13. I think if you're going to take a chance, this would be a good price to take a chance at. Just remember, they're only going to make 27 cents next year. That means it's kind of overpriced, but they've got sales growth in their backing them up. That sales growth may help a lot. If they can keep that up, this price will be turn out to be a good price. If they can't, if sales growth falls down or falls off that 17-20%, stock is going to go lower. So that's where you got it's a little bit risky, but this is where the price would be that you take the risk. Okay.
Okay. Also, how busy are you guys? Like, do I just call the office number to schedule a meeting or something?
Yeah.
Like that?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Just call. You can just call them office 800. I'll give you the number, direct number 800-557-5461, and we'll set up. I'll be happy to set up a meeting with you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Wendy. Appreciate the call. Thank you. 888-99-CHARK. So what should you do? Where should you put your money? Should it be cash? Should it be stocks? Should it be bonds? And what kind of relationship between how much? 50% in stocks? 50% in cash? You know what? That question cannot be answered as, well, this is a good thing to do. Let me tell you. It can't, because we need to know you. We need to know how old you are. How much risk did you want to take? How much risk should you take? And if you don't know, that's why talking to someone like me is important, because we can help you and tell you, well, what are you comfortable with? And then we can ask you certain questions. I ask a lot of questions to try to feel out where you are in life, where you want to be, how much risk you should take. And we got software to help us with that too. But, you know, it's a question that, well, how much should you be in stocks, bonds, and cash? And I have different programs myself, KPP Financial, to try to fit those areas that match you, that will fit into how much risk you want to take. At a rule of thumb, you should have 3-6 months in cash readily available for emergencies. That's just common sense, to have money ready for the cash. After about 6 months, it doesn't really make sense to have it in cash. It really doesn't. The older you get, the less risk you take in the market. And, of course, there's exceptions. Let's say you have $100 million. Well, it doesn't really matter how much risk you take, does it? You're probably not going to lose that, and you'll probably have plenty of money to live off until retirement. So it depends on your circumstances. But in general, the older you get, the less risk you take. When you're approaching or in retirement, the less risk you take. When you're young, 20, 30, 40 years old, the more risk you take. And what's risk? Risk is stock market risk, being in the stocks. Less risk? Well, cash, bonds. And you know I don't like bond funds or bond ETFs. I'd rather have you own the individual bonds and a group of them to diversify and make sure they're high quality. Stay away from junk bonds right now. There are times when junk bonds, or they call them high yield bonds, There are times when you want to be in them, but this is not that time. You want to be in them when you're coming out of recession, the economy is just starting to recover. That's when you want to be in junk bonds. Why? Because they're paying their highest yield then, and as the economy recovers, most of those companies issuing them junk bonds get better, improve, their financial conditions improve. Now, right now, they're their best financial condition right now. And the yields are at the lowest. Well, why would you want to do that? You know they're healthy and the yields are lowest, but junk bonds and junk bond providers are the highest risk area of the bond market. When recession comes, they get killed. A lot of defaults. Here's something not to save. Your questions. Let's hear from you. I'm Financial Advisor Steve Peasley, and you can reach me right now at 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues. First, a couple of words for KPP Financial. One of the main lessons for investors in 2008, stop trying to time the market. How many people got out and stayed out? Well, Steve and staff at KPP Financial employ the latest investing technology guided by years of experience in finding opportunity and moderating risk for their clients, investing right along with their clients. KPP didn't get out of the market. They were defensive, but they stayed with the market. Long term, that's the safest place to be. That's the main lesson you should learn. If you'd like help with the ins and outs of today's market, look at the series of investment programs for all life situations from KPP Financial. When you're ready, click on the Investments tab on investtalk.com. Now let's get back to the podcast. And now back to Invest Talk. Your call is important to us. Financial advisor Steve Peasley is ready for your money question. Our direct line, 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART. Let's go to Sam in Fremont. How are you doing, Sam?
I'm fine. Thank you, Steve, for taking my call. I have a question on two stocks. One is General Electric, GE, and the other one is Bank of America, BAC.
Well, let's just do one, if you could, please. One is one at a time. Thank you. Which one would you like?
I'll take GE first.
I'm sorry, which one? GE?
General Electric, GE.
Okay. General Electric, of course, is a $210 billion company, so it's a mega cap, a big company. Therefore, it's going to be fairly safe. It pays a 4% dividend, which I think is pretty secure. Manufactures transportation, energy generation, consumer appliances, industrial, medical equipment. It does, it does $29 billion a quarter. Okay, so $29-30 billion, huge. Okay, it's been falling steadily from $31 at the beginning of the year to $24 now, and it's going to make $1.70 next year, $1.57 this year, $1.16 last year. So it's going in the right direction as far as earnings. Sales have fallen off a little bit the most recent quarter. And the last couple of quarters, it was down a little bit. Maybe this was they saw this coming. I don't know. It's going to make $1.70. It's a $24.28 stock. So therefore, you're looking at a 15 or so PE, and that's at the low of its range. So this is the area that you should hold, Sam. It's right around $24. This is a good buy point if it holds. I think you want to, it's been hovering right around here for the last couple of weeks. I think you want to give it a little bit more time. And when it starts back up, let's say when it gets up to $25, let it go up back up to that. Then I would say, your thumbs up on buying GE. Okay?
Is that dividend secure?
Yes. The dividend is very secure. You'll get that 4% while you're waiting. You'll get the 4%. The only little red flag on GE is they do have a lot of debt, but they got so much cash flow, it should not be a problem. But it's more than I'm comfortable with, but this still is a good price. Thanks, Sam. Appreciate it. Let's go to Gene in North Carolina. How you doing, Gene?
Thanks for taking my call, Steve.
Thank you.
Yeah, the ticker symbol I gave was the CJNK.
Yes.
It's
okay.
The spider crossover corporate high yield bond, I believe.
Yes. Okay. Uh-huh. Right.
Does the term crossover bond mean anything to you?
No, I'm not sure what that means, to be honest.
Uh-huh. If you look at the credit quality profile of these bonds, I think you will see that all of them are BBB.
Okay, so they're high quality.
But they're the lowest high quality, right?
Right. They're at the low end of the high quality bonds.
I believe that the word crossover meant that they were all upgraded. They were all the bonds previously were of lower grade and were upgraded to BBB.
I see.
And I think the philosophy was that if the bonds are upgraded, then there's less chance of them. The company, there's more chance that companies are doing better, and there's less chance of them defaulting, and the and the price would go up on the bond rather than go deep.
And that would be true. That is true, Gene.
Not that this is a good time to buy junk bonds, as you mentioned, but
right.
I was curious about the term.
But, yeah, they're paying, this fund, CJNK, is paying 4.1% dividend. And it's been moving up nicely from $24 a few months ago, back at the beginning of the year, actually, to $26.65. So it's moved up nicely, and it's paying you a pretty nice dividend while you're doing it. It's an exchange-traded fund, everybody. Exchange-traded fund put out by Merrill Lynch. U.S. Diversified Crossover Corporate Bond Index. That's what it's checking. Checking. So, Gene, yeah, all the things you said are true.
But one other comment about high yields. You mentioned that the best time to buy them are when they were coming out of recession.
Yes.
I looked on the chart about when we came out of the Great Recession,
mm-hmm.
and one of the fast, to me, what I saw was one of the fastest sectors that rebounded the quickest, not the most, but the quickest in time was high yield bonds. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. Because, see, again, remember, they're at the depth of the recession, these are super depressed, junk bonds are, super depressed in value, but and yields at their highest. And, of course, everybody's scared of them at this time. You've got to remember that, Gene. They're scared because we're in a recession. But when you come out of recession, that's when those bonds start to... The corporations that support them, you got to be careful of the corporations support them, they start to get better financially. And the yields are still very high. So, again, that's when you want to buy high-yield bonds. You don't want to buy them now. This is the bad time because the yields are really low and the corporations
the spread between the yields of the corporate and high yields are the lowest, right?
Yeah, exactly. So right. You're taking a lot more risk and not getting...
And not for any gain.
Yeah, not getting a reward for the risk. You're not going to get it. And this is the time, of course, we're not looking to go into any recession, but we're a lot closer to a recession than we are to a peak in the economy. The economy is probably at its peak already.
Right. It's not, hey, thanks, Steve.
Appreciate the call. Thanks, Gene. Appreciate the call. Good call. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. China's been buying our debt. And they are now the biggest debt holders of U.S. corporate U.S. government debt. And they beat out Japan. They added like $44 billion here in recent times. They're at $1.147 trillion of government debt is what they're holding on to. Now, don't get worried about this. It's not some new thing that China's trying to do. All they're trying to do is support their currency. That's what they're trying to do. They're not doing anything, you know, to try to push ours down or push us around. That's not what they're doing. They're more worried. They're more self-centered in this. They're worried about their own economic health and not trying to hurt us in any way with this bond buying or, you know, having so many bonds. They're just trying to stabilize their own currency in their country after being weak. So that's what this is all about. And I don't think it's a big problem for us. I don't. So don't worry about it. ADP number came out. ADP jobs number came out today. ADP is, they come out a few days before the official jobs report, which comes out on Friday. And the ADP is just the private sector. It's 237,000 private sector jobs. That was better than July, which was 178,000. And that was revised. July's was revised to 201,000. So it got a bump up in revision. Okay? So the 237,000 in August was better than expected because they only expected about 175,000. Now, remember, this is the private sector report on jobs, not the official report. So it was pretty good. Not bad, really. Another benefit to joining our InvestTalk Insiders is that you've had the key to a whole library of recorded webinars. The latest one on global investing is ready to play anytime. There are 11 in all, by the way, webinars there. To become an InvestTalk Insider, you just go to investtalk.com. No investment required. It's free. check in now with your questions about your 401k.
Above Average Investing for the Average Investor. That's the title of Steve's book, and it's a good answer to the question, how do I get started on my investing learning journey? Well, maybe this is a good gift idea for yourself. Look for it in the recommended book section on investtalk.com.
Hey guys, it's Clay from Baltimore. Thanks so much for the show. I was hoping you could take a peek at Dow Chemical, D-O-W. Let me know what your thoughts are on the current numbers and their guidance and forecasts moving forward. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Okay, Dow Chemical Company, headquartered in Midland, Michigan, manufactures plastics, chemical, agricultural products for the global food, transportation, and other markets. Their sales growth has been pretty stellar the last few quarters. 3 quarters ago, the growth was 14%. The quarter before that was only 4%. 2 quarters ago, the growth was 24%. And the most recent quarter, the one just passed, 16% sales growth. Earnings up 9% for 2017 to $4.08, and then another up 8% in 2018 to $4.42. The stock is $64.90 right now. Now, does that mean it's cheap? Well, not necessarily. It's about 16 or so, which is kind of the market PE, which is not bad. Pays 2.8% dividend. It's a big company, $80 billion size. It's huge. So the dividend is pretty darn secure, 2.8%, very low. So they have room to increase the dividend. Return on equity is very good at 18%. The stock has been on an upward march now, you know, since the election, like most stocks or many stocks. But it's starting to hesitate here. It was up today, you know, 1% up today. But it looks like it's having hesitation. It was a high of 67, now it's 64.90, 65. Down a couple points in the last month. And that's been true of a lot of stocks. They've been struggling in the last month. A lot of stocks have been struggling. Personally, if you were looking to buy it, you know, this big blue chip company, I'd probably wait for a market pullback. Be patient, because at some point it will get it, and it's not going to go away. It's not going to, you know, skyrocket on you or anything like that. Good, solid company, a good blue chip core holding in your portfolio. That's Dow Chemical, everybody. D-O-W is the symbol. Dow Chemical. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We're going to talk to, let's go ahead and talk to Jay in Fremont. How are you doing, Jay?
I'm fine, Steve. Thank you. How are you?
Good. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
Steve, I had a question on Goodyear Tire, GD. I think it's almost close to 50-week low. I want to know if it is a good buy at this price. Thank you.
Okay, you said Goodyear Tire, GT, right? GT.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take a quick look at it. Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company, it's another pretty big blue chip company. It's not, it's $7.5 billion, so it's not quite, it's a bigger company than, you can't call it a mega company, and it's not, it's a little bit bigger than midsize, so it's a good size company. The problem you have with Goodyear Tire is sales have been pretty flat to shrinking for 2 years in a row every quarter. You know, so we're going to be down 5%. It was down 5% this most recent quarter. So, and that's probably why the stock took a hit from 35 down to 29.98 today. They're going to make $4.26. It's a $29 stock. So on that basis, it's cheap based on their earnings. They make $3.04 this year. They're going to make $4.26 next year and $29 stock. So right now, based on this year's earnings, it's going to be, it's a, what, a 10 PE? Based on next year's, it's moving down. But this stock has always had low PEs. Its five-year range is 6 to 12. So a 10 PE is at the higher end of the range. So don't think it's cheap. It's not. So I would not buy Goodyear Tire. You don't have anything. It's a good company, but you don't really have any kind of catalyst for it to grow its sales and grow its earnings. It's just, it's a difficult industry to be in. They're dependent on automobile industry and whatever that's going. It's very cyclical in nature. I would probably stay away from Goodyear Tire. It's just not a good enough company. The company is fine. Let me put it this way. It's just not a good enough, attractive company for investing. they paid maybe 5% dividend, then that would be a different story. But they don't. They only pay 1.3. They can find a lot better dividend payers and a lot better companies. Bigger companies, too. Safer companies. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Financial enabling, everybody. I wanted to get to that. We got, because we didn't get to it yesterday. What that means is adult children are going back to the money well of their parents. And the parents keep giving them money. This is not good. I'm not talking about your adult children being 20 years old. I'm talking about 30 years or older. And parents keep giving them money. Sometimes they don't have the money to give and they still give it. Now, what you can do, because if you're one of those parents that can't seem to stop yourself, try to sit back and think about this for a minute. First thing you should think about is, will the money actually help? What are they using the money for? Is it going to, why do they need it? You know, and you can answer that question pretty easily. Is it really going to help them? And do they really need it? And maybe there's a better way to help besides money. Maybe a better way, depending on why they need the money and why they ask for it. Are they just asking for the money because maybe they're frivolous with their own money and then they need your money to pay the bills? So you got to sit down and have a conversation about that. And it's okay to say no. The problem is parents say no, 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 and then yes. That if the kids find out that you're going to say yes, they'll just keep asking. You got to say no and mean it. That's very difficult to do for parents. I know I have firsthand knowledge of that, not because I have any children, because I don't, but I do have 30 nieces and nephews, 29, and I see it happening quite a bit. I have some good friends that are wealthy that constantly give their kids money because the kids ask for it. Adult, 30-plus years old. You're listening to Invest Talk, and we're listening to you. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can ask your questions anytime. We can talk about it right now, live, 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. 888-99-CHART.
I tell you, this is John from Gilbert, Louisiana. I heard your comments regarding growth stocks that said the cycles are about to turn over. That we should beware as growth investors. I just wondered if you could give a little bit more information on that particular subject. I also have a couple of stocks that I wondered how they would be affected by that particular change in the market. One is Allergan, AGN, and the other is Intercept Pharmaceuticals, ICPT. Thank you so much, man. I really enjoy your show.
So what normally happens is that growth stocks eventually get tired and they get overvalued, and that's what you've seen. You've seen a lot of growth stocks rolling over in the last month. What happens then is value stocks come to the fore. And the difference between the two is growth stock is a stock that is growing fast. Sales growth. It's not necessarily earnings growth, but at least sales growth. Growing very, very fast. 15, 20, 30, 40 plus percent. A value stock may have some growth, may not, but the stock is very, very cheap when you're looking at the relationship, PE, price to earnings, price to sales, return on equity, return on assets, very solid balance sheet, very solid company, very safe. Well, I don't want to say the word safe. I have trouble with that word. In relationship to growth stocks, it's much more steady value stocks. Okay, so that's kind of the difference. If you're looking at let's look at Allergan, the one of the stocks you mentioned, AGN. Allergan makes drugs. Ireland-based developer of branded drugs for medical categories, including central nervous systems and eye care. It's a $223 stock. Try to remember the price of stock has nothing to do whether it's overvalued or undervalued. It's always a relationship of earnings to the price. And they're going to make $16.27 this year, and that's up 20% from last year. And then another 10% increase next year, $17.92. Based on that, this stock is pretty fairly priced. It's not overpriced, and it's not cheap. The five-year range is 13 to 38, and they're it's closer to 13. So it's a pretty for it. It's a pretty good value. Sales growth are growing about between 5 and 10% every quarter. So that's decent, but it is a $74-75 billion company, very very big. It has fallen from 255 down to 223, about a 10% reduction, 10% pullback, and it looks like a really good price right in here to me. Now, if the whole market falls, it'll pull this further. It can go all the way down to about $185 to $190. That'd be a 20% plus pullback, 25% pullback. Boy, that would be a great bargain at that time. And that would be a value play, a very big value. Right now, it's sort of a value play, but this is not a growth stock. No way in shape or form is this a growth stock. Okay? 888-99-CHART. What options do kids have when they inherit an IRA or Roth IRA? Let's say your parents are old and they pass away on you. What are your options when you inherit their IRA or Roth IRA? Number one option, you can take the money immediately. Take it, spend it, cash it. You got to pay taxes on it. Number two option, take whatever you want over any period you want over a five-year period. Okay, so you can take half of it today and then wait 2 years, take some more. You can stretch it over 5 years. Okay? Your third option, you can stretch it over your life expectancy. And treat it, it's more like a required minimum distribution, but you have to take it over your life expectancy. So you got it before December 31st of following the death of your parent, you have to decide to take it, set up an RMD kind of system where you take required minimum distribution based on your life expectancy. Those are your three options that you can do. Time's up for the hour, everybody. A reminder, no matter where you live in the U.S., you can avail yourself of a free retirement account analysis. It's really very easy to set up. Why not give yourself every possibility to succeed? Let me help you. To find out more about this informal process, just go to InvestTalk.com, click on the InvestTalk tab, then Portfolio Review. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and the whole KPP family, thanks for being with us today. And join us again tomorrow on InvestTalk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.